Our bodies limit us to being in one place at a time. If I'm here, I can't be there. And Christmas, more than most times of the year, that reminds us, at least myself, of this fact. We can only be in one place at one time. I'm limited in space. But that's not the way it is with God. Which brings us to this attribute of God that we're going to consider tonight, his omnipresence. This is the first of the omni attributes of God. That prefix omni means all, and as we read that word, we're supposed to understand kind of limitless. And so when we talk about his omnipresence, we're talking about his limitless presence. When we talk about his omniscience in 2 weeks' time, I think we'll look at that. We're talking about his limitless knowledge. His omnipotence is his limitless power. And we'll look at those in later weeks. But we're going to look at God's omnipresence tonight, the limitless presence of God. And we're going to just look at what it means, what we mean when we say that, and try and get our heads around this idea. It's a very big idea for us to get our heads around, and then think about what it all means for us. So what do we mean when we say that God is omnipresent? Well, two main things. And first of all, God is not limited or bound by space. If you open your Bibles to 1 Kings 8, or you'll see it on the screen there behind me, 1 Kings chapter 8, here we have Solomon dedicating the temple. It's a prayer of dedication. So Solomon's just built one of the greatest buildings ever built, the temple, a place for God to dwell among his people. Now listen as he prays to God in 1 Kings 8. Verse 27, he says, "But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built." Here is Solomon. He knows that God is not limited by space. He cannot be constrained. The temple is a place where God's name is. The temple is a place where he will meet with and show favor towards his people, but he cannot be contained in a building. He's not bound by space. Why? Well, two reasons. First of all, because like time, God has created space. And as the creator of space, he sits outside of it. Genesis 1 tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. God made everything. And so, one reason why God can't be contained within a building or contained within a space is that he made the space. But secondly, it's because God is spirit. In John chapter 4, Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman and talking about where people will worship one day. And he says in verse 24, "God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth." God is spirit. And so God makes space, he sits outside of space, and he is spirit. And so he is not contained in any way within space. For this reason, we cannot say that he has size. Anything that has size can be measured. I could say to you that these chairs have a certain size, this building has a certain size, that I am 6 foot tall or whatever it is. But God has no size, he has no spatial dimensions. Everything in the universe that has been created cannot contain him because he sits outside of space and he has no size. And so we can't ask the question, like a child might ask the question, how big is God? That's a theologically inappropriate question. The answer is, he is infinite. He has no size. And so the first thing that we mean when we say that God is omnipresent is that God is not limited or bound by space. The second thing that we mean is that God, or all of God, is present everywhere all the time. All of God is present everywhere all the time. If you go to a cafe these days, you'll see a table of four people, and those four people will be on their phones. I don't know if you've seen this. Maybe you do this. I do this sometimes. These are people who are physically present with each other, but they are not fully present. Because as they open their phone, those phones take them away to somewhere else. If it's me, it's probably to a sporting contest somewhere in the US, or it's to the cricket or something like that. Maybe if it's you, it takes you to a conversation with someone else who's not there with you, a different relationship to those that are in front of you. Maybe it takes you to photos, to memories on Facebook of last night's good times or whatever it is. But when we open our phones around the table, we're actually trying to be in two places at once. And while we're trying to be in two places at once, we can be fully present in neither. But that's not true with God. This is what's proclaimed in Psalm 139, which we've looked at a few times recently. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. David knew that all of God is present everywhere all the time. He is omnipresent. And when we say that all of God is present, we're saying that there is no part of him missing. That God cannot be somehow broken up into separate bits and some of him can be over there and some of him can be over here. No, all of God is present everywhere all the time. Everywhere. Everything in all of creation, everything is permeated by and sustained by being in God. Now, it's really important to make sure we're not saying something here. It's really important to make sure we don't kind of fall into a heresy known as pantheism. Although God is wholly present throughout all things, he is not those things. He is not matter. He is distinct from those things. Pantheism says that all of creation is part of God, that God is the tree, God is the air, that God is all of the matter in front of us, things that we can see and not see. But creation, matter, is not God, nor is it part of God. God is not present as the different points in space. He is present with or in each point in space. Now, this is getting a bit much for our brains, isn't it? It's hard enough to understand this, let alone try and explain it. But the point is that God's omnipresence means that he is not bound at all by space, and that all of him is present everywhere, all of the time. Okay, so that's the two things that we can say when we talk about God's omnipresence. But we need to clarify one thing, because the Bible uses some different language from time to time to talk about God's presence. And the thing we want to clarify is this, that though God is everywhere fully present all the time, he acts differently in different situations. And because even though God is fully present everywhere all the time, and yet he acts differently in different situations, our perception of his presence will vary depending on the situation that we're in. This might be a really poor illustration. It probably is, given we're trying to illustrate the omnipresence of God. But as a dad, I can be present to my children in different ways. I can be present to teach. I can be present to tickle or to punish a child. There's different things, different ways I will act towards them. And in each of those cases, I will be fully present with them. And yet I will act towards them differently. And they will perceive my presence in different ways. It's a little bit the same with God. He is everywhere fully present, but he acts in different ways at different times. And so the verse there is an example. God's presence and our experience of God's presence might be of his blessing. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Here the psalmist is proclaiming that in the presence of God, there is joy and blessing. And yet, in hell, God will be manifesting his presence in judgment. And people will experience his presence as they experience the judgment that they deserve. It's fully present in both situations, but acting differently. In a similar kind of way, God is present in a different way in the Christian compared to the unbeliever. the believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And so God, what that means is God is graciously living in, he's actively working in, he's relating to a believer in ways that are not true for an unbeliever. In a similar kind of way, that gathered church experiences the presence of God in a different way to the world. You will experience the presence of God perhaps differently in a church service compared to a football game. And so here at church, we might perceive God's presence when we hear his word taught. We'll perceive something of his authority or of his holiness. Or we'll be reminded of and perceive afresh his love for us in Christ as we sing songs like we've sung tonight. And so God acts differently and we perceive the presence of God differently, but he is fully present all the time. That's what we need to accept here from God's word. Oh, it's really hard to wrap our heads around this, isn't it? But this is the way God works. This is the God that we serve. So God is omnipresent, not constrained by time, by space, always fully present everywhere, and yet he acts differently in different situations. He is omnipresent. And the question we have to ask is, what does it all mean for us? Well, I want to suggest that there are three things in terms of application that God's omnipresence should spur us on to think about and to act upon. And the first is that we should be vigilant. The omnipresence of God should make us vigilant about sin. If I was to invite you now to come and play a game of hide and seek with me, I'm sure you'd be keen. But if I was to tell you that we're going to play hide and seek in an empty room with four white walls, a white roof, a white floor, just a plain old white room, there's nowhere to hide. It'd be silly, wouldn't it? You could try and hide in the corner. You can kind of crouch down in the corner, but it would be so easy to find you. It's a bit the same with God. In Jeremiah 23, verses 23 to 24, we read these words. When I get there. I could just read them from there. Anyway. These words remind us that God cannot be hidden from. Listen to what he says. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? There's nowhere to hide. It's a big white room, if you like. God's omnipresence, it makes a mockery of our attempts to keep our sin hidden from God. He knows all the things that you've ever done. You cannot escape his gaze. You cannot run far enough or fast enough away from him. You'll never find him with his back turned. He can always see you. There's nowhere to hide. One of the guys who wrote and one of the most famous books on the attributes of God is a guy called Stephen Charnock. He was a Puritan, I probably said that wrong, but a Puritan theologian in the late 17th century, so quite a long time ago. And he says this about God's omnipresence. How terrible should the thoughts of this attribute be to sinners? How foolish it is to imagine any hiding place from the incomprehensible God who fills and contains all things and is present in every point of the world. When men have shut the door and made all darkness within to meditate or commit a crime, they cannot in the most intricate recesses be sheltered from the presence of God. If they could separate themselves from their own shadows, they could not avoid his company or be obscured from his sight. Hypocrites cannot disguise their sentiments from him. He is in the most secret nook of their hearts. No thought is hid, no lust is secret, but the eye of God beholds this and that and the other. He is present with our heart when we imagine, with our hands when we act. We may exclude the sun from peeping into our solitudes, but not the eyes of God from beholding our actions. How terrible should the thoughts of this attribute be to sinners? the omnipresence of God, it makes a mockery of our attempts to keep our sin hidden from God. We cannot do it. And so with that in mind, the omnipresence of God should lead us to what? Well, to confess our sins. It is folly to try and hide them from him. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, that's what Adam and Eve tried to do. But God was there. He knew what had happened. And ever since then, we've tried to do the same thing, keep our sins hidden from God. But it's folly. We won't be successful. So one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, what are the secret sins in your life? What are those things that you kind of just hope God has missed? Those things that you're looking over, just hoping that he won't notice that you're sinning in that way. Is there a secret sin that you're hiding from God? This attribute of God, his omnipresence, should just compel us to get on our knees and confess our sin. And then it goes beyond that, because the omnipresence of God is an incentive, isn't it, to a holy life. You know, if the glorious, holy, righteous, the judge of the universe, God, is with us when we go to uni, if he is with us when we go to work, if he is with us when we hang out with our girlfriend or our boyfriend, when we're tempted to talk about someone behind their back, when we are tempted to indulge in whatever sinful desires we'd like to indulge in, if God is there, if that God, the omnipresent God, is there with us as he is, it changes everything, surely. You know, if you go to visit someone important, and maybe go into an official function and meet someone really important, or maybe go and spend time with the big boss at work or something like that, we would act a certain way, wouldn't we? We would act a certain way to show honor and respect. And so it should be with God. We are in his presence always. And if we come to terms with this fact, we'd want to honor him, to act in such a way that we honor him. I wonder if we do that. Do we live in such a way? Do we live our lives? Do we strive to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do we strive to live in such a way that he is glorified, that he is honored? Does the fact that God is with us all the time, does it lead us to hunger for holiness? And so this attribute of God, the omnipresence of God, first of all, it should make us vigilant about sin. He is always watching. He is always there with us. But it also can give us comfort and be a reassurance. I guess for little kids, maybe more than older kids, but for little kids, a bad dream can be quite scary, can't it? You know, you have a child wake up in the middle of the night having had a bad dream and screaming and crying. And so you go and spend time in the room with the child. And maybe you'll say, I'll just sit here with you for a while. And then you sit there quietly, maybe on the floor, half asleep, kind of just sitting there quietly. And after a while, you might hear, Dad. And you go, I'm here. That's enough. They don't need more than that. They just want to know that you're there. Your presence is enough to bring comfort and reassurance and security. Friends, how much more does the omnipresence of God, the fact that God is fully present with us, how much more does that give us comfort and reassurance and security? One of the most famous chapters in the Bible, Psalm 23, speaks about this. We'll read Psalm 23, we'll just start in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. No matter the trials, the troubles of life, no matter the darkness of the valleys that we walk through, the omnipresence of God assures us that he is with us, that our good shepherd is guarding and guiding us. And that's true whether we feel like he is with us or not, whether we feel like he is far from us or not. He's always there. I wonder this evening if you're facing a trial of some kind, a difficult situation. You know, maybe there's a work problem, a relationship problem, a financial problem. Maybe there's persecution. Maybe there's a health issue. There are lots of things going on in our lives all the time. And lots of those things can make us feel like God is distant. But Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is with you. This is true all the time. If you're a Christian and you're feeling like God is far off, that he's like relationally distant from you, then the promise of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 is for you. God says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He is always with you, and he promises to always be with you. Nothing can change that. You don't have to go looking for him. If you are a Christian, you've put your trust in Jesus. He is always with you. And so the omnipresence of God should give us comfort. Vigilance and comfort. And then lastly, the omnipresence of God should give us a sense of freedom. It should set us free to be fully present where God has placed us. As I said at the start, this Christmas we're going to drive about 3,000 kilometers in 10 days to see family. And we're going to go as fast as we can on the roads, as we're allowed to, and make sure that we're present with everyone and present everywhere that we want to be. And maybe some of you will do something similar, you know, get on planes and fly home or drive up the coast, drive down the coast, all that kind of stuff. Lots of family events and things. And we're going to then, you know, at some point during Christmas, we'll probably get on Skype and talk to people that we haven't seen, and we'll chat to those who are overseas who we can't get to see. And then we're going to take an Instagram kind of Christmas photo in silly shirts and send it out to everyone who's just waiting to see me in a Christmas shirt and things like that, so we can present ourselves, be present to people. There's nothing wrong with that kind of stuff, except the Instagram stuff, but like this fast travel, internet, they're good things, aren't they? This is the world we live in. It's inevitable that we're going to be affected by that kind of stuff. That stuff's made our world smaller. But I find that stuff exhausting. I'm sure you do too. It's exhausting. It's exhausting because we're relentlessly trying to be present everywhere, up the coast, down the coast, in Europe, in Sydney, on the internet. I want to be present everywhere and to everyone. We're trying to be omnipresent, but we're not. Only God is. And when we accept this, it sets us free. When we say, I know I'm not omnipresent, only God is, it sets us free to be fully present where God has placed us, rather than trying to be omnipresent. I'm going to suggest that this might express itself in a few different ways. And the first one, I'm not against phones, but the first one is put the phone away. That's really hard to do, isn't it? I struggle to do this. You know, so much of our life is now in that device, emails and social media and calendars and that kind of thing. But I've never met anyone. I'm still yet to meet anyone who has said to me, no, please, I really want you to keep using your phone while I'm talking to you. No one has ever said that to me. And so I'm not sure that the phone is actually doing much for the relationship I have with that person. There is so much, isn't there, which distracts us from being fully present in the relationships which God has placed us in. But nothing, I think nothing more so than our phones. And we don't believe this, well, maybe we do believe this, but we don't live this out, that we are actually created for a lot more than what Facebook or Instagram offers. Social media is fast food. There is a banquet. There are real relationships that God has created us for. And so we have to do ourselves a favor, do each other a favor, do our families a favor, and put the thing away. I need to learn in that space. Maybe you do too. If God is omnipresent, then we are free to be present with those in our lives, those relationships, those face-to-face real relationships that we have. A second thing that we would do if we accepted that God is omnipresent and we are not is we'd reject and we'd fight against an unhealthy, sinful busyness. Our calendars are almost always full. And while they're full, it's really hard for us to be present, fully present, because developing relationships takes time. time we don't often give ourselves. And often if we're busy, we're thinking already about where we need to be next or what better thing we could be doing with the time that we're using now. And we struggle to be fully present with those that God has given us, those with whom God has placed us. And so this is going to look different for different people. Each of you are at different stages of life, but we need to be really wise, don't we, in how we plan. We've talked about planning just a couple of weeks ago. Wise in how we plan what we do so that we have time to be with people. I was just talking to someone this morning at the morning service about this idea that he said to me, I just don't know what ministry I can do. And I said, just make sure you don't let your doing affect your being. You need to be here with us. You're part of the body of Christ. This is why coming to church is so important, being a part of the community. Simply being here is a ministry at one level. And sure, we should be doing things and serving one another, but we often let that doing stuff affect our presence, our being fully present with others. And so we just got to be careful and reject this kind of sinful busyness. Thirdly, we can practice the ministry of presence. When we accept that God is omnipresent, that He is everywhere and fully present everywhere, we are set free to be present here now, practicing the ministry of presence. The ministry of presence is an idea it's related to kind of caring for people who are struggling in difficult times in their life. It can be broadened out to any kind of caring for people, I suppose. But it's the kind of thing that happens when you sit with and you listen to and you laugh with and you cry with somebody. That's all. You might not be very good with words. You might really not know what to say when someone is struggling with something or sharing their pain or their loss. You might wish you could help them practically. Oh, what am I supposed to do for this person? But you don't know how. But none of that matters because the ministry of presence is all about just sitting and listening and laughing and crying and being. All you need to do really is be fully present. I wonder who you might do this for. Now, I want you to know that you signed up to be in the ministry team, the ministry of presence team, when you walked in the door of the church tonight. You joined in the ministry team. So you're all here tonight, and one of you might have an opportunity to just be present for somebody tonight, just to sit and listen. You don't have to have the right words. You can just sit and listen and then pray with someone. This is the kind of thing that often the elderly or those who are shut into their houses, the sick, this is the kind of thing that they are so blessed by, the ministry of presence. When we accept that God is omnipresent, that we are not, we can practice the ministry of presence. It doesn't matter how long it takes because we can be fully present there with that person. And then lastly, we trust God. We are limited to one place at a time. God isn't. We can't be with all those that we care about at the one time. Have you ever had that experience where something terribly difficult, maybe a relative far away gets sick and goes into hospital and all you want to be is there with them? I had that experience earlier this year with my mum. It's a difficult situation to be in, and many of you would know that. And we can't be there. We can't be with that person at that time. But God is, because He is omnipresent. There is a God who is as much present and in control of what's happening on the other side of the world as He is right where you are. You can trust Him. You can trust Him with what's going on in places that you're not and with people that you're not with. And in terms of what this looks like for us, it should drive us to prayer. In one sense, there's the ministry of presence, which we've talked about tonight, and that's something we can do when we're face to face. But there's also the ministry of absence. When you're so far away that all you can do is what? Pray. You can still minister to those who are suffering or struggling far, far away by simply bringing them to God, because God is the one who is with them. God is the one who is there when we can't be. And so we can trust Him. Your friends, God's omnipresence should make us vigilant about sin. It should reassure us. It should set us free to be fully present where God has placed us. And we started tonight talking about Christmas. It's just a coincidence, but as I think about God's presence with us, we think about Christmas, don't we? Christmas is really a story about God's presence. And since Adam and Eve sinned against God, God kind of pushed them away from his presence. He was still fully present everywhere, but their experience of his presence was tainted, damaged from that point onwards. This wedge has been driven between us and God. Our relationship with him has been ruptured. Our sin wrecks our relationship with God. Our experience of God's perfect presence is contaminated. And Christmas is a story of how God in Jesus sent the one into the world who was God with us, Emmanuel. He came into the world as a man and made a way for us to have our relationship with God restored and eventually our experience of his presence perfected once more. All we must do is humbly confess our sins to God. Trust in Jesus as the one who died for us. Anyone who does that will have their sins forgiven and have their experience of God's presence perfected. In eternity, when we are face to face with Jesus, in the presence of God forever, in the new heavens and the new earth, our experience of his presence will be perfected. Christmas is all about God stepping into the world that we might be restored to that relationship with God and enjoy the wonder of being in his presence. And I just wonder tonight as we finish, have you put your trust in Jesus? God is saying, I want to restore what was lost at the fall. I want to restore what has been lost because of your sin. I want to bring you back into relationship with me so that you might enjoy and experience the fullness of my presence. That's what he says. That's what the Christmas is all about. Have you put your trust in Jesus? This is the only way you'll ever experience the fullness of God's presence. Have you put your trust in Jesus? If you'd like to know more about what that means, I would love to talk to you tonight, but I'd also love for you to pay attention to what happens over the next month as we talk about Christmas, as we talk about what God has done for us in Jesus. God has opened up a way for us to have our relationship with God restored and to experience the fullness of his presence. Our friends, I look forward to that day. I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. And to the extent which God enables me to experience his presence in its fullness, it'll be a wonderful day. Are you looking forward to that day? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are omnipresent and that we are not, for the freedom that gives us. And we confess that we try hard, we try to be omnipresent, to be in more than one place at a time, but we can never be like that. We confess that we are distracted and we are prevented so often by our distractedness from being fully present where you have placed us. And so tonight we ask that you would help us to accept who you are and to accept who we are. And to live accordingly. Make us vigilant about sin. Remind us of the comfort and the reassurance that is ours as we put our trust in you, the one who never leaves us, who never forsakes us, the one who is always with us. And help us in practice to live in the freedom that you have, that you want for us as we accept who you are and accept who we are in light of your infinity, in light of your limitless presence. Tonight, Father, we just want to pray especially for those who are far from us, who we cannot serve and minister to in the ways that we would like. And we ask that if anyone's on our hearts tonight, that you would be at work in their lives, ministering to them, showing grace to them, and doing what is good in their lives. We trust you, our God. We thank you for your presence with us here now. We thank you that your word promises us that where two or three are gathered together, that you are there with us. And that we thank you especially that you are with us here in a special way, that you are teaching us and challenging us and comforting us and opening up our hearts again to the message of your love. We thank you especially for Jesus, the one who came into this world so that we might have our relationship with God restored, that we might experience his presence in all its fullness forever. We thank you and pray in his name.